I was discouraged when no answer came, for I prayed for years and I still saw no change. I was ready to give up, thinking, what can I do? But when I prayed that last time, God's power broke through. And prayer is just as big as God is. Prayer is just as strong as God is strong. Prayer can reach as far as God can reach. Don't ever give up. Just pray, don't ever give up. Just pray. We have been given a means to the throne of the God whose potential is yet to be known. There is no limit as to what God can do. So just keep on praying. He's listening to you. And prayer is just as big as God is. Prayer is just as strong as God is strong. Prayer can reach as far as God can reach. Don't ever give up. Just pray, don't ever give up. Just pray.
Thank you. Great song for tonight. Matthew 5 and your Bible. Matthew chapter 5. Give you just a moment to find that. And I don't know, there's a lot of things going on. Did you hear about the Palestinian guy in Gaza that blew up his house? He was told to work from home. So, you got to have a little fun, fellas. Amen. You have to laugh a little bit, or you know, you'll go crazy. All right. So, but anyway, I saw that. There's been a lot of stuff. I'm sure you guys have seen a lot of stuff, you know, come across. And but anyway, I saw that one. I thought that was pretty good. But anyway, hey, pray for Brian Tarks. He, is this public, Brian? Okay to say this about your job situation? Or no, I guess not. So he got hired on to do a side job for Olivet, and he thinks it's kind of like a test run to see what kind of work he does, and they need somebody over there, and it would probably be a more consistent job if he could get on over there with Olivet. So we will pray for him tonight. I mentioned this morning, Kristen Peters is going to have back surgery. That disc is blown out, and she's going to have some surgery at some point on that. Let's stand, please, in honor of God's word tonight. Join with me. You follow along. Verse number 13. The Bible says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a bushel and light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Speak for just a little bit on the subject tonight. Rise and shine. Father, bless us tonight in your word. God, thank you for the encouragement of coming together with these men and knowing that folks are listening at home, lifting our voice in song together, lifting our voices in prayer together, being in fellowship together, and now, Lord, hearing your word taught and preached. And so I pray that you'll fill us with your spirit. Oh, God, give us that anointing that only you can give. I pray that you'd give both speaker and listener, Lord, anointing tonight that'll help us to get from the passage what you want us to have. I pray that you'll bless Brother Tarks and his situation, and then, Lord, be with Kristen And all those in our church family, any that are sick, God, I pray that you'll encourage their hearts as well. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you and be seated. Bear with me just a moment. I'm going to take us back to an Old Testament story. Joshua sent his officers through the host of the Israelites as they were gathered on the banks of the Jordan River. Just across that swollen river was the promised land that God had given to his people, had promised to them. Now, as the officers went through the host of people, they gave instructions as to how they were to commence crossing the Jordan River. And the host, the officers would tell them, now when you see the Ark of the Covenant borne by the priests, you follow it, but put a space, if you will, of about 2,000 cubits between yourself and the Ark. And they said, for this reason, so that you will know you'll know the way by which ye must go. Let God lead. So they said, put some space between you and that ark so that it'll give you, you know, you can follow it as it leads the way. And then they gave the reason for those instructions. They said, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. You've not been down this road before. You've not been down this way before. Spurgeon wrote, he said, and I quote from him tonight, are we just now where we have never been before as to trials? Are the demands on our strength heavier than at any former period of our lives? It is not a way of our own appointing. God has led us to our present place. Providence cannot have placed us in a wrong position. It must be right for us to be just where we are. I thought that was a poignant quote, poignant statement, given the circumstances of our day. And I want to say to you fellas and to all of you who are watching by way of internet tonight, God has allowed us to come into this circumstance. And somehow He will use it for His good. And He will use it for His good through His people, just like He told the Israelites back then, just as they said, look, you let that ark lead the way. You have not passed this way heretofore. God brought you to this place, and you just let God lead. And that's what I've been trying to do as a pastor of this church. I've been trying to let God lead. God, what do you want for Faith Baptist Church and our ministries? Now, let me say about the text here tonight. Jesus had just given them the Beatitudes. He'd given those to His followers in the beginning of what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And then and these Beatitudes were characteristics that produce happiness in the life of those who follow Christ. And then Jesus immediately followed the Beatitudes by telling the disciples in verse number 13, ye are the salt of the earth. And then He said in verse number 14, ye are the light of the world. Now, I don't think there was a careless choice of words by our Lord. He used the words salt and earth together, and He used the words light and world together. He said, ye are the salt of the earth being the land, or the planet, if you will, the globe on which we live. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So, Christians, followers of Christ, are salt. Now, what does salt do? Salt seasons, salt heals, salt preserves, salt is quiet, salt makes no noise, and salt works to season and heal and preserve. And just like salt quietly works to season and heal and preserve, a child of God, a man of God, by way of biblical character, biblical Christian character, he seasons and he heals and he preserves. And fellas, I'm talking about doing this without even saying anything. You know, this thing of lifestyle evangelism, I believe in lifestyle evangelism. I don't believe it's the only way of evangelism, but I believe this is what Jesus is teaching here. He's teaching the quietness of a biblically principled, a biblically charactered life based on biblical truth works in the earth like salt does. It seasons, it heals, and it preserves. Very interesting. I've been reading in the book of Deuteronomy lately. Now I'm into Joshua. And God gave the children of Israel the promised land, okay? And he frees them in Deuteronomy chapter 9. He said, basically, I'm going to paraphrase it. He said, the reason I am giving this land to you is not because you are righteous. It's not because you are holy. It's not because you deserve it. He said, I am giving this land to you, number one, because I promised to give it to you. And then number two, he said, I'm giving this land to you because the nations that previously lived on this land have defiled it. They defiled, gentlemen, they defiled the land. He was specific about that over and over again. They have defiled the land by the shedding of innocent blood, by immoral, wicked behavior, by their idolatrous worship of filthy, false gods. The Bible says, God said that the land was defiled. The earth itself was defiled. And fellas, if I could say something tonight, I'm talking specifically to the United States of America and about Americans. Our land is defiled. If that kind of behavior defiled what we know as the promised land, then America's a defiled land as well. Our land is stained with the blood of the innocents. I mean, the unborn and now born babies are sacrificed in death. Immorality reigns. Drugs abound. Theft by taxation, by way of taxation. And it's all going on, and it defiles our land. And through it all, Christians are to be salt. We're to be salt in a, if you let me say it this way, in a quiet way. Just going about our business, the busyness of our life, the busyness of what you do for a livelihood, the busyness of what I do for a livelihood, biblical characteristics and biblical truth and biblical principle should permeate our living, and without us even saying a word, the Christian character and the Christian principles work as salt in the land. So I don't think he misspoke here when he said, ye are the salt of the earth. But that's not what I want to draw our attention to tonight. It is the statement in verse 14 where Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Now, why is there a need for light? If somebody calls for light, why is there a need for light? Well, there's a need for light because of darkness. That's why you need light, okay? And we have crossed this ground before. We've been through this. Gentlemen, look. Look, I think all of us have an opinion. I think all of us, you know, I'm sure there have been times in the last week and a half, last week especially, where I've just been stinking fired up, angry. I just have, and I'm sure you have too. But listen, look, we've got to stop. Do we understand that the leaders who are making the critical decisions today, by and large, the vast majority of them are in darkness. They are in darkness. You know, and I'm getting, and I'll do it again, but getting mad at them is probably like getting mad at the sun rising from in the east. They are in darkness. And, you know, I spoke with somebody last night on the phone who called me around 8:30. Who is a weekly attender at Vice President Pence's Bible study. A weekly attender. Goes to the Bible study. Thank God he is a born-again man. Born-again man. And I don't know how much influence he has over our president. I don't know. But Spence, somebody involved in making these critical decisions has got to stand up for truth. And if there is no voice for truth, do we really expect them to make biblically based decisions? They don't look at it from a biblical worldview. They're looking at it from a human worldview. You know, churches are essential. And that's what I was told by our chief of police. Worship services are essential. You know, they're letting marijuana be dispensed because it's a help to people who are under stress. Well, I want to tell you something. I'm glad somebody said that, because a church service is a real help to God's people. They come and relieve their stress by singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." So if they're going to leave the marijuana place open to relieve stress, let's open the churches up. Honestly, so, you know, look, but, you know, my point is this. Men in darkness are making decisions. Men in darkness, they're in darkness, okay? But that's not my major point of concern for this message tonight. You know, like I say, everybody's in judgment of somebody else, okay? I know guys who've sat in judgment of churches that didn't open their doors at all today, and I know there are churches, there are guys that sat in judgment of churches like ours who did open their doors. It's not time for that. Let every pastor do as he feels led under God to do, for the reasons he feels led to do it. Okay? And within our own church, you say, well, so-and-so should have been here. Enough of that. And I haven't heard that, and I'm glad. I'm just trying to head it off at the pass. You know, we don't need that, all right? We don't need it. Now, here's the thing. It is very easy right now for you and me to turn inward and take care of ourselves and ours. And by the way, I'm not saying that's wrong. You should be doing that. It's very normal for us to make sure that all the things at our home are in order. I'm talking about dads making sure that the home is in order, and moms making sure that the home is in order for the kids, and you know, provisions are accumulated and things are taken care of for those that we love. That's very normal. That's the right, that's the manly thing to do. But remember, we are still the light of the world. We're not just the light inside the four walls of our home. We are the light of the world. Men don't light a candle to put it under a bushel. And that's not why God has given us the light. He's given us the light so that we can be a light, so that we can rise and shine. And look, I'm all for taking care of ours, but let's not forget that. Let's not forget we are the light of the world. We're that now. This is a necessary time for us to be concerned about being the light that we are supposed to be. This is a difficult and chaotic time, and it is a great time to let our light shine. So please don't get so consumed with you and yours that you overlook the responsibility to shine. This is a great time. Let your light shine, Jesus said. Corporately as a church and individually as a follower of Christ. In the midst of having to take care of our own and make sure our kids are provided for and our wives, it shut out our responsibility to be a light to the world. So here are some ways that we can let our light shine. Let me give you a few tonight. Number one, talk to people with whom we have an open door. Talk to people with whom we have an open door. Look, it's impossible for us right now. This is for us, okay? Other churches can do what they want, but I told Brother Mick we're not going to have soul winning this week in the sense that we've known it in the past, coming here and meeting and going out and going door to door. I don't think it's time for that right now. So talk to people with whom we have an open door. Who do you have an open door with? Co-workers, neighbors. Look, on Friday morning, we were having a meeting here at 10 o'clock. And so Joyce and I left the house at 9 o'clock. To go to a retail store in the area, and I needed to pick up some salt for my water softener. And I was in the back of the store, and I picked it up back where you drive around the back and pick it up, and there was a cashier back there, and I went right to that place and paid for it back there. And so this is a young lady. She's probably maybe a senior in high school, maybe just out of high school. She's behind the cash register, and I'm getting my salt, and I'm paying for it. And she goes, "Boy, it's crazy times, isn't it?" And it wasn't, you know, crazy times like wacko time. There was empathy there. There was feeling there. Crazy times like, what's happening? And I said, "Yes, you're right, ma'am. They really are." And I whipped out a gospel tract, one of our tracts, and I said, "Look, on the back of this, there are some verses that'll give you some understanding of the most important thing you need to know." And as I walked away, she was reading it. She was not up in the front of the store. She was in the back of the store. And she was reading that thing as I walked away to go pick up the salt. Now, I didn't have an appointment with her that I knew about. Okay? But God did. So take advantage. Talk to people. I was on the phone with Brother Woodward the other day. This was Saturday morning early, and he was pulling by Hardee's over there on his way into the church. And he said, hang on just a minute while I order my breakfast. And I heard him say, I want a Frisco sandwich, double toasted. I gave him all this stuff. I thought, man alive, he knows exactly what he wants, you know. And so then he's talking to me, and then he pulls up to pay, and he says, hello, ma'am. And she goes, churches aren't shut down, are they? I heard her say that over because he was on speakerphone. And when you pastor in a town of 4,800 for 30-something years, you kind of get to know everybody. And he had a chance to talk to her, and he started talking to her a little bit about the Lord. He didn't plan that. He didn't look for that. That was in the routine of his day, if you will. I'm not going to use names, but in the area where I live, on the way to that retail store to get salt, I saw a couple of trucks. And so I said, honey, I got to stop. So I turned around and I whipped back to the drive, pulled in the lane. And I can't go into all the detail, but just some, God had set some things up. And I spoke with two men and they listened as I explained why we are having services. It's more than just religion to us. It's Christ. And we're talking to good men steeped in religion. And they just... I said, man, your own Pope threw a fit that the churches got closed in Italy. What? I said, yeah, man. He said the priests need to be on the front line. The doors of the services need to be opened. And if we don't provide some help for our people right now, they'll leave us. They opened up. I said, really? I said, yeah. And they listened. Now, we didn't get on our knees. Nobody got saved. But I'm going to tell you something. I got further this past Friday than I've gotten in 29 years of living there. 29 years. Further this past Friday. And you know, I'm just saying, look, I would suggest, I'm talking to folks at home too, because there's a lot of ground covered by the members of this church. I would suggest not going into a diatribe about our government. If you got an opportunity to talk to somebody about Christ, okay? That's where you got to temper your feelings. That's what I meant. Everybody's got an opinion. Is this hype, reality, conspiracy theory? We all have our opinions. But people are looking for hope. They're looking for hope. Our neighbors, our coworkers, the person at the checkout counter. And look, people, we're all facing the same thing. People are concerned about paying their bills. So is the small business owner. Is he going to have to lay off people? People are concerned if they have been exposed. So is the vice president. I mean, we're all concerned about the same things. If the person you work with opens the door, walk through it. If they open the door, witness and speak up for Jesus. People don't need our opinions and our theories and that type of thing. They need truth. Truth is what sets a person free. Okay? My opinion may not be truth, as sincere as I may be about it. As truthful as I may be, as truthful as I may believe I am, my opinion just may not be truth in the end. It won't help anybody. But the truth sets people free. Talk to people with whom you have an open door. Number two, digital tracts are coming soon. Digital tracts are coming soon. What are you talking about? I'm talking about our friend, Pastor Jerry Ross over in Indiana, has written an excellent tract on the coronavirus situation. And in that tract, the gospel is clearly presented. It is in digital format. And it can be sent by way of a text message or any other social media platform. You can send it by way of Instagram, by way of email. And it will have our church information on it. I don't know when we'll get it. We might get it as early as tomorrow. It might be Tuesday. It might be Wednesday. But as soon as we get it, we're going to put it on that email. Again, if we don't have your current email address, make sure you get it to us. And we're going to send that to you. And you'll be able to send that digital tract to any friends, any relatives, any neighbors, any coworkers. You're talking to somebody at work? Hey, give me your email. I'll send you something that'll be a help to you. And you can send them a digital tract. We also are going to make Pastor Mike Ray's gospel cartoon called Jose Got the Answer Right. Have any of you seen that? Any of you men seen that? No, three or four of you. Okay. He has $30,000+. Our church gave $1,000 to that project. It is professionally produced. It is a children's cartoon titled Jose Got the Answer Right. Professional music, professional sound, professional voice, professional voices, professional sound. I mean, the whole nine yards. It is a great tool. And guess where the kids are at right now? They're at home. And you know what parents are looking for? What can I do to keep my kid occupied for the next 15 minutes? And this is a great tool. We're going to send that little, what do you call that thing, QR code? Is that what it's called, that little QR thing? And all you have to do is send it by way of text message, send it by way of email, any other social media platform to your friends and say, have your kids watch this. Have your kids watch this. So digital tracks are coming soon. Number three, this week, gospel tracks. This week we hope to have a tract for handing out to people written with the current events in mind. It won't be a come to church, come visit us tract. It will be Bible verses that offer help when it comes to fear and anxiety. And they will also include, of course, verses about salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Right now, the church tract that we have just basically tells about us, come visit us, and the plan of salvation on the back. We're going to have something for you to carry with you wherever you go that will have something more than just come visit us. It will address the concerns and fears that people are facing right now. Okay? You can laugh at it, you can disregard it, but there are people living in fear right now. Okay? There are people living in fear. Number four, and I know if I'd ever say this, take advantage of social media. Okay? Take advantage of social media in this way, specifically. If you're talking with someone and they are curious and it's obvious to you that they are searching, they're asking questions, you know, like Brother Bragg did this morning. He got up here for his devotion on prayer and he referenced a message that he heard last fall. You can go to the audio page from the Facebook page where the sermons are archived. If you're talking to somebody and okay, that the thing even last Sunday, what to do and the what times. I can't tell you how many I got. This is just crazy. They have access. People have access to these sermons. And look, you're talking to somebody and say, hey, look, I'm going to send you something. And you can go there. You can open that up. Brother Mick maybe can explain it to you more than I can. But you can open up that link and get that service started and then share it with somebody. Amen. Hello. We can scream and cuss it about social media all we want to, but that it's not going away. Amen. Not for right now. And so, look, let's take advantage of using it for the right thing, okay? That not many people, they find themselves right now with a lot of time on their hands. And they might just sit and listen to a message, especially if it comes from somebody that they've kind of built a relationship with, and they wouldn't say it to your face, but they kind of admire you.
Yes, sir.
Because they see that salt is at work.
Yes, sir.
That salt is at work. And so now you come and not just with salt, but with light. You say, hey, let me send you something. Open this up. Take 45 minutes and listen to this. Okay? Are the sermons on by themselves, Brother Stone, apart from the special music and everything? You don't know?
On the website.
So if you go to the website, you can... So yeah, I'm saying if they don't want to listen to all the special music and all that, you can just send it, tell them what, 40-something minutes? 40 minutes? 35 minutes? They'll sit and... I'm just saying, look. Yes, I'm concerned about the Angel Clan. Should I not be? I've talked to my daughter, who's on deputation, still traveling. She's coming, they're coming back tomorrow. They're in Georgia in a missions conference. We're not the only ones with our doors open. Okay? Of course, they live in a more sensible state than we do. But anyway, you know, how y'all doing? Of course, I'm concerned about my clan. I've done some things to try to help my clan. But I can't drop the ball now with my responsibility to let my light shine. Let your light so shine. You have a light. I have a light. We have a light. Let's take advantage of the opportunity. I'm not saying let's be happy for the situation we're in, but let's not drop the ball, gentlemen. Don't drop the ball. If your coworker brings it up, your supervisor, or if you are a supervisor, if somebody brings up a honest question of what are we going to do, don't fumble the ball. Don't talk about the government. What hope are the Baptist Church? Talk about Christ. One of our church members sent me a picture when I got home this afternoon. They watched it online. They took a picture and they said, "Notice the bold words that stand out above your head."
Yes,
I had no idea. Christ. Christ. What if a lost person watched this morning? Christ. That's who we need to point people to. Let's let our light shine. Let's not fumble the ball. This is our opportunity to be salt and light in a very confused and chaotic world. Let's not miss our opportunity. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to have your book challenge our hearts. Lord, it's very easy right now to just be concerned about us and ours. Make sure our boys are safe. Make sure our girls are safe. Make sure our wives are cared for. Our spouses are cared for. I understand all that. But help us not to fumble the ball when it comes to being a light. Help us to rise and shine at this moment in time, I pray. Speak to our hearts as only you can. Let's stand together, gentlemen who are in the auditorium. The altar will be open for just a moment. Or kneel right where you are there. Maybe God, while I was speaking, maybe God impressed upon your heart somebody you work with, somebody that you have a relationship with, somebody that's in the past talked with you about spiritual matters. Maybe you ought to ask God, "God, give me an opportunity to talk to this man. Give me an opportunity." And just seek His face about that. If you're listening at home, I hope that you'll take this seriously. Right where you are, let's not fumble the ball. Let's not miss the opportunity to let our light shine. Father God, we love you. We thank you that we know the truth. And Lord, we don't know the truth because we were good enough to know it. We don't know the truth because we deserved to know it. We know the truth because somebody took the time to share it with us. And Lord, I pray that you will give us the grace, the boldness, fill us with your Spirit, and help us to be that witness at this time, at this real time, right now, in this moment. Help us to rise and shine with the truth that Jesus Christ is the answer. And I pray, Lord, that some people will come to Christ through this time. I pray that you'll work on hearts. I pray that you'll use us to be salt and light. I pray, please, in Jesus' name is my prayer made. Amen. And amen.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full on His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light.